Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing the message in that song was. I trust that it was a blessing to you as well. Philippians in chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me, Philippians in chapter 4, the message of that song goes right along with the message that I believe that God would have for us here in the book of Philippians in chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 1 and read down to verse 13. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Philippians in chapter 4. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, first, Lord, we want to just thank you for this another opportunity to be in church. And Father, I thank you for what we've already experienced and received here today in our Sunday school, and then through the singing of congregational songs and the special music. What a blessing. But now as we look to this passage of Scripture, your holy word that you preserve for us, I know that you have a message for each one here through this passage, and I pray that you'd give us all, each and every one, that ear to hear what you have for us to hear today. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. As the Apostle Paul is the one that God would use to pen this letter to the church in Philippi, he wanted to leave them with this last chapter. Chapter 4 would be the last of the letter that he would write. And after revealing to them what his heart concerning the Christians here at Philippi, he said, "Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." I mean, he's expressing to them his love and concern for them. And then he admonishes them and says, "So stand fast in the Lord." Now, in closing out this book of the Bible and this letter that he's writing that God has preserved for us, he's saying to them, as what God would be saying to every one of us that is here today, is no matter what, stand fast in the Lord. Now, this was the Apostle Paul, who would later on in verse 11 to 13 reveal that he had learned to be content. And then he would also reveal in verse 13 a very familiar passage of Scripture that if you're a Christian, I hope that you have put this to memory and that you realize this is something that you need to remind yourself of. And he says that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not that I can do all things in and of myself, but I can do all things through Christ, for he is the one who gives me my strength. And so Paul is presenting that to them. Later on, he would present to them that I've learned to be content. You can learn to be content. It's something that you have to learn. It's not something that's automatic in the Christian life. We have to learn to be content. And then we have to understand the truth that I can do whatever God would have me to do. I can do all things, whatever that would be, because he, God, is the one that strengthens me to accomplish that. And so no doubt if Paul had learned to be content and Paul realized he could do all things, then it would be Paul that would be saying to them, stand fast in the Lord. You can stand if you're looking to God's strength and if you have looked to the Word of God and you've learned these biblical truths and principles to live by that can help you to be content. You can, if you have that, you can stand fast. What does that mean? What does that mean to stand fast? That means don't fall. That would mean that don't give in. That would mean don't quit. That would also mean don't lose hope. Stand where God wants you to stand. No matter what's taking place in your life, no matter what you're dealing with, you can stand and you can be all that God wants you to be. You can stand for what God wants you to stand for. You can do this because it's God who will help you to learn to be content no matter what your circumstances. It is God who can strengthen you to be able to do all things, whatever God would have you to do. After he says that to them, stand fast in the Lord, verses 4 down to verse 9, powerful passage of Scripture. Can I tell you, I use these verses quite often in counseling because there's so much here that would help people in dealing with different circumstances of life. But verses 4 down to verse 9, he reveals to them how to do it. And I believe that God would have us to look to this morning and learn how that you can know that you can stand fast in the Lord. The first thing that he reveals to them that I believe that is critically important for everyone to be able to stand, no matter what the circumstances of your life and no matter what the battles that you're facing, is the fact that he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Find joy in Christ. No matter what's going on in your life, if you understand what God has given to us, and if you understand God, if you know this Bible, and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, no matter what else is going on in your life, you can find joy in Christ. I love what the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. We won't turn there this morning for sake of time, but Nehemiah had led the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, back into Jerusalem to rebuild and restore the walls of Jerusalem. And it was until after that the walls were restored and the people understood some things that they had somewhat of a letdown and they started crying and they started to lose contentment. Now, this is after the huge battle was fought and the walls were restored. And we find that the Bible reveals to them the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, you've finished the battle. You've got the walls built. Praise the Lord for that. Don't allow Satan to come in and defeat you now. And the Bible reveals that it is the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, then you're not going to be strong. And if you're not strong, you're going to be vulnerable to Satan's attacks. And if you're not strong in the Lord, then you're going to fall and you're not going to stand. If we are going to stand fast and where God wants us to stand and be the people that God wants us to be and accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, one of the very first things that we have to have in our own hearts, in our own lives, is experiencing the joy of the Lord. If you have the joy and you can have the joy of the Lord no matter what your circumstances, no matter what battles you're facing, you can have the joy of the Lord, and having the joy of the Lord, experiencing that joy, is a strength to us. And so if it's our strength, then I guarantee you Satan's going to try to steal it from you. He's going to try to blind you to it. He's going to try to convince you that you can't have it. But I'm here to tell you that you can. The Bible states that I can. And we are expected to have it, to rejoice in the Lord always. You see, understand what God has done. It's rejoice in the Lord, understanding what God has done for us. If you're saved here this morning, there's joy in knowing that you're saved. If you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you've identified with your Savior. There's joy in knowing that I am not ashamed of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I want to publicly identify with Him. And there's joy in knowing that I am not ashamed of being a Christian, that I want people to know that I'm a Christian, and I want to identify my life with Jesus Christ. That's what baptism states. That is what being baptized gives to every believer, knowing I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. I'm excited that I'm saved, and I'm excited to identify with Christ. And then if you're a member of the local New Testament church, what a blessing to know that I'm where God has planted me. I have a body. I have a family in the Lord. Amen. I'm not alone. I might not have very many brothers and sisters. That might be your case. I have many brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest of seven boys, and I've got six sisters. And so, I mean, God blessed me with a large family. But can I tell you that today I am blessed more than just with 12 other siblings. I am blessed with a whole body of believers. Everyone here, every member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, I look to as my brothers and sisters in Christ. And to have a family connections with a membership of this church, can I tell you, if you just stop and think about that, that is something that I can find joy in. Rejoice in the Lord, in what God has done and what God is doing in your life, saved and baptized in church. And more than all of that, as I study the Bible, I realize this one thought: I'm on the winning side. Because I know how it's all going to come out. I've read the Bible. I've seen what God has given to me concerning the blessings of the future. And we're in the book of Revelations on Sunday nights and revealing what is going to take place. There is a rapture going to take place, and there is going to be a tribulation period on this earth that I won't have to experience. But then there's going to be an eternity with God. I know how it all turns out. I know what I have to look forward to. I have everlasting eternal life. I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to live forever without ever having any pain or suffering or crying or tear. Can I tell you this morning that we have the joy of the Lord available to us? You just realize it's in Christ, in the Lord. I stand fast in the Lord, and in the Lord I realize that I have these things, and if I am aware of these things, then I can have the joy in Christ, because I have them through Christ. Experiencing the feeling of winning. Now, if you're a competitive person, I'm a very competitive person. If you don't know that, that's why I have to limit myself in games, because I'm too competitive. And sometimes I if I'm not careful, I could lose a testimony over losing a game. And so I think if I'm going to lose a testimony, I shouldn't play the game. Amen? But the idea there is, when you're competitive, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The Olympics. The thrill of victory. There's nothing, if you're competitive, there's a feeling of joy over victory. If you've ever been to a ball game, whether it's the Colts or the Pacers or IU or whatever, and you're there, you're watching it on television, the home team, the crowd is cheering, and when the team wins, my goodness, especially if it's a playoff, and they all just kind of come down on the floor, and they're all rejoicing and throwing up their hands, and what a thrill of victory. And then you see the other side of it when the home team loses. And you can hear a pin drop. And everybody is just, oh, the agony. No matter what kind of battles that you're facing right now, no matter what is happening in your life, if you know Christ as your Savior, listen to me, you can experience the thrill of knowing that you're on the winning side. You might be down, but it's only the first quarter. Amen? By the time the two-minute warning is over and the game is over, when the game is over, you're on the winning side. You have it won. I mean, it's already predetermined. We are on the winning side. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We are victorious in Jesus. Don't ever forget that. That's why I don't like when I tape it for somebody to tell me. Come on. I don't want to know ahead of time. That's why I recorded it. But it is a lot better when you hear they won. At least you got a smile. They took a lot of it away from you because of the excitement of the watching it live. But at least I'm rejoicing inside thinking my team won. Can I tell you that it's recorded? And we know who wins. There's joy. Rejoice in the Lord. You need to have that joy. When you're going through some of the dark hours, when you're going through some of the things you think, I don't know if I can make it through this, realize you can make it through it. God's not going to put more on you than what you're able to bear. And one of the ways of making it through it is to realize that you're on the winning side. Ultimately, there's joy in Christ. The second thing that he tells them, if you look in verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If I'm going to stand fast in the Lord, I must first of all find joy in Christ. But second of all, I need to pray with thanksgiving. Notice here, just not prayer, but prayer with thanksgiving. There's no other effective way to pray. If you are not first of all thankful, don't even bother to pray. Because the effective way that God has revealed to us as far as getting prayers answered, the only effective way to pray is to pray with thanksgiving. We're commanded to be thankful. It's the will of God that we give thanks for all things, no matter what's going on. Just as it's the will of God for us to learn to praise the Lord, no matter what's going on, you need to have that rejoicing in the Lord, and you need to have the joy of the Lord, no matter what's going on. You need to be thankful. As we're first of all learning to be thankful for what we have, then we're in a position to make a request for what we desire. You're not in a position to make a request to God for something you desire without first of all being thankful for what He's already given you. Too often we find ourselves focusing on what we don't have instead of giving thanks for what we do have. I remember as a young teenager, just got my driver's license. Actually, I think I just had my beginners at the time, and I got a job at the National Theater. I was actually at a very young age, I was a manager of the day shift at the National. You say day shift at an outdoor theater? Yes, it was in charge of picking up all the trash. And repairing all the voice boxes, you know, that they used to put in the cars and all that. But I remember that I needed to have transportation. I had my beginners, and at that time, I could ride a motorcycle with beginners to be able to make it to work and back. And so my parents and my older brothers wouldn't have to take me to work. And one of my older brothers worked it out, and they got me this. It was called a Honda Dream. It was a black motorcycle that was just barely running, but more than just barely running, it was kind of looked at as a girl's bike. Just had like 150, 160 cc's, didn't have any power in it whatsoever. And I remember being able to at least ride from our house that was in Greenfield there in between the Palestine and Greenfield and 400 South all the way to the National Drive-In. And I would be able to take the back roads. And when I'd get to the work, I'd try to kind of hide it around the back of the building because I was embarrassed to have anyone see me on this motorcycle because it really wasn't a motorcycle. It was somewhat like a little scooter. Have you ever, and you're seeing more of it anymore, but you've seen a 300-pound man on a little scooter, how that if he's not embarrassed, you're embarrassed for him, you know? And so to have that, I remember trying to hide it because I didn't want to be associated with that motorcycle, but it gave me transportation, but I didn't appreciate it until one night going home, and it was very dark and foggy outdoors, and I didn't realize that the road, I should have known it because it was a road that I traveled a lot, but anyway, I didn't stop because I didn't see the stop sign and went over, and the bike ended up crashing, and it flipped over a couple times, and it destroyed the bike. And now, I don't have a way to work. And now I'm thinking, I should have been a little bit more appreciative of what I had. And now I'm going to have to call. I had to call and make arrangements and try to get somebody to take me and bring me home and take me and bring me home. And I'm thinking, well, I sure would love to have that Honda Dream back. You see, sometimes we don't realize what something means to us until it's gone. And that's why God commands us. He says, give thanks for everything. It's my will for your life. It's something that you need to learn to be appreciative of what you have when you have it. You're not in a position to make a request until, first of all, you say, God, thank you for what you've already given. Thank you, Lord, for my family. You say, is your family all that it should be? No. Are you having problems here and there? Maybe. But first of all, before you start asking God to change your husband, before you start asking God to change your wife, before you start asking God to do something in your family, first of all, be thankful for what you have in a husband. Be thankful for what you have. You have an opportunity to be the man that your wife needs if you're a husband. That's an opportunity. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. And God will empower you to be what she needs if you will look to Him. You have an opportunity to be everything that that husband needs, wife. If you look to God and give thanks for having an opportunity to have a husband, there's a lot of ladies that would love to have a husband, have an opportunity to help him to become the man that God wants him to be. Have children, you say, well, they're not really doing what they should be doing right now. First of all, God, thank you for these children, and God, forgive me for maybe not doing all that I should have done up to this point. But at this point, God, I thank you for them. Now, God, help me to be able to help them to do right. Before you make the request, you're not in a position to make a request until you first of all learn to be thankful for what God's given to you.